Today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, look, it is good to be in the house again, like we said, with all of you all this morning. Always good to see everybody. Praise the Lord. And it's always good to be in God's house. Today, I want to go to John chapter 9. I'm going to read some verses in John chapter 9. And we're going to read John 9, 1 through 7. And if you recall, we've been doing a couple different messages where we dealt with the guy at the Pool of Bethesda, and we built our way up to this message where we are today. And I think, like Sister April said during the devotional, I think that this message will tie into what was being said, even though, like I said, we didn't plan that, but I think that at the same time, it's important for us to know that God always tries to, I think, bring things together in a way that they're seamless for what he's trying to do. So John chapter 9, we'll read verse 1 through 7, and this is what it says. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he, but others said, He is like him, but he said, I am he. Now let's go to John chapter 9, and we'll go a little further down, verse 24 and 25. I want to look at those two verses here, and then we're going to talk a little bit here. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that your word would go forth in a way that it would minister to our lives. Help us to continue to grow, to embrace one another, to grow in the Spirit of God, that as the body of Christ, even as Sister April mentioned this morning, of those that are in Haiti and Pakistan and throughout the world who are all a part of the body of Christ. We pray today that somehow we might enter into the situations that they find themselves in, that, Father, even in our lives, that we might be able to move in a way that is pleasing to you. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, over the last couple weeks, we've been doing messages that have kind of been building us up, if you will, to where we are at this particular point in time. Now, we talked about, if you recall, the guy that was at the Pool of Bethesda, and Jesus walks up to him and says, wilt thou be made whole? And the man, the Bible says that he begins to explain to Jesus why he did not wasn't able to be made whole, because he couldn't get to the pool, because by the time he would get there, somebody else was there. And we said that really these amounted to excuses that he was making for the reason that he wasn't able, if you will, to do what in fact needed to be done. But we said that Jesus reoriented him by telling him, let us take up your bed and walk. And by saying that to him, he reoriented him to the place where Jesus was able to get him to think differently about how he was going to be made whole. Okay? And so we said then that this is instructive for us, because we wanted to understand that over time, and we began to look at different messages. We said that when we called change your thoughts, change your aim. And we talked a little bit, I said, about how once, remember I told you how Brother Tim, I've gone out there sometime, Brother Chapman, I've gone out there, and I'll be pointing my weapon somewhere and hitting nothing, or not hitting what I should on the target. But ultimately, it's in a matter of adjusting the aim. And that once the aim was adjusted, pow, 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 you're just hitting the target all the time, right? And so the idea was not so much whether or not I knew what I wanted to shoot at as much as I wasn't hitting it. And so the reality, we said, was that once Jesus got this guy to understand, there's a way to be made whole that has nothing to do with getting up, if you will, and getting in that pool. But it's a whole new thing I got for you. And if you'll just do what I tell you, you'll be made whole. So ultimately, then, the man does what Jesus says. Sure enough, he's walking, right? And we said then that by changing his thoughts, he was able then to realize the aim he had needed to change, how he was going to, his strategy to getting to what he was trying to get to. So then we said that the next time we talked then about focusing on the aim, and we said then that it was important for us to realize this is why when people are aiming at something, we said that they'll hold their breath or they'll do whatever because they don't want to shake or they're not trying to do whatever. And we have to realize that there is a target that we're trying to hit as Christians. But in order to do that, we've got to focus on our aim. And I talked about how sometime in the military, what they'll do. But this was back in the day before they had drones and they were more accurate with what they did. They would fire a rocket and the rocket would go long and it would hit. Then they'd fire another one and it would go short and then it would hit. Then they'd fire another one and bam, it would be right on target. Now, I said the problem with living that way for us is that you end up married a couple times, you end up with some other things a couple of times. You know, you end up on different jobs and different things and different places you ain't supposed to be. Why? Because I'm really firing, trying to find the target instead of knowing what the target is to start and then what? Aiming, focusing on my aim, the strategies to get me there. We said, this is the problem. If I had understood it, I do believe now, like I said, I'm 60. And I thank God today, yes, I'm okay in terms of where I think I would like to be in life. I'm about where I think I would have wanted to have been in life. But trust me, the road to this place was a whole lot rougher than it needed to be. Because I did not fully understand what I was aiming at to start, and I did not know what it took to get there. And so ultimately what you end up doing is you're firing, and before you know it, you don't realize it, but you've missed the target a couple times, and then maybe finally you stumble upon it. The younger people learn, okay, the truth that the Word of God is really true, that God, the Bible, really is the Word of God, and that if you'll follow it and get in Christ, you'll get exactly where God wants you to be when you want to be there without all of the additional drama that goes on with some of what we're doing at times, right? But we've got to understand that without focusing on this aim, we have a problem. So then last week, I talked about removing the blindfold. I said, we can't play life like pin the tail on a donkey, all right? So, you know, in other words, it's like, hey, I'm going to find it sooner or later, right? I'm going to get it. We don't want to live this way. But we said that Jesus talked to the disciples and told them that they were blind. He said, you've got the blind leading the blind. He said, and when the blind lead the blind, they both going to fall in the ditch. Now, we said, well, how do we know when we're blind? Well, all we had to say was, well, are you in a ditch? I mean, that's all. People, and some will say, well, I don't feel like I'm in a ditch. Well, we don't use our feelings, we say. What we use is God's word to locate us, and that tells us whether we're on track, off track, where we're supposed to be or not. If, in fact, then we find ourselves where God wants us to be, great. If not, take, for instance, I told you all this morning about these people that have been kidnapped in Haiti. Now, the question is, should this have happened? Now, some people will say, you know, it is what it is. Now, remember when we talked about strongholds? I said strongholds, it can be three types that kind of everything falls underneath that. One, I said that you could have a situation where people are hooked up on this purpose idea, that somehow God had this purpose from the time they were born or something. And reality is the Bible doesn't really teach it or explain it to us that way. That it appears that we are lost in the world without Christ until we find him. So until you find Christ, surely there's no purpose God got for you but for you to get saved. Then after you get saved, God can then begin to build on your life to give you someplace or direction that you're going. But until then, we said that can be a stronghold. Second, we said that people are mixed up on the truth about things, how truth really functions. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then we said that another is timing, that people keep saying, well, things happen when they're supposed to, because God does what he wants to do. The Bible says, to every man is appointed once to die. Well, yeah, that's true, but it didn't say man had an appointment to die. It says that it's appointed once to die. Stick around. Everybody gets it. Now, do you know anybody who was born who hasn't died? If you do, it's because it ain't time yet. It's not that it's timed when it's going to happen, but the fact is, sooner or later, you're going to die. It doesn't matter. I mean, even Methuselah died. He was 900 and something. He died, though. It's appointed unto men once to die. We're going to die. Got it. Unless Jesus comes back in a flash, we're gone. Okay, other than that, we're going to die. Okay, got it. So timing to suggest to yourself that, well, hey, what's going to be will be. Maybe. Okay, so is that true? Well, no, we don't know that's not true. So these people that got kidnapped right now, wherever they are, and whatever these people are doing to them, that's why this morning as I was we were up here singing this song, How Great Is Our God, you know, it brings tears to my eyes because I don't know what's going on with these people right now. I don't know whether you got a gun to your head, whether somebody's slapping you around, whatever they're doing to intimidate you enough to try to make sure the people back home understand how serious, because they're from the United States, how serious they are about you, them getting the money they want, or you will not be coming back home. Now, do you, at least you would think, would say to yourself, you could recognize why it would be extremely important to make sure that God told you to go down there. Or that was the thing to do, that you felt it was God moving you to go down there. Because, see, when you get the right, watch this, when you get the right target, which is what we talked about last night, removing the blindfold, and you get the right target, we said the right target is always about pleasing God. That's it. That's really the right target. Once we finally get that target and realize that's what it is, then we don't look at situations and say, why am I in this situation? You know, why did God do this to me and all that? No, because whatever, wherever we are, we already know that what we've done is what? We've prayed, we've sought God, we've done everything we can to hear from God, we did everything to assure ourselves it was God, and then we moved. So whatever happens, we don't sit around going, why is God letting this happen to me? Why God do this to me? Oh my goodness, oh my God. I'm like, God, thank you, because the Bible says your will is that in all things we give thanks. And now I just want to make sure that whatever happens and whatever I'm doing is pleasing to you. That's it. All right, so now here I am, like I told you all, I'm standing right here now. I just got through talking with the pastor last week about coming to Haiti, and he told me what he was going to do and all of that. Okay, so let's say I go down there and get kidnapped. Well, now, can I stand around saying, God, why you let this happen to me? I'm down here trying to do something for you, and look at what done happened to me. Well, you see, you can't live like that. Well, you caught now. I can't aim that way. I can't be shooting, well, let me try Pakistan, let me try Haiti. You know, you better make sure you know what you're doing, and the target that you're hitting is the one you see, if I go any of these places at all, I'm trying to please God now. That's my main objective. Back in the day, I'd have went because I just want to do ministry. You know, you want to do something. You want to be doing something, right? Well, that's nice. But the bottom line is you could get yourself in a lot of trouble just out doing something. You need to make sure that what you're doing, your aim is the target of pleasing God. Now, this man says something which is very interesting in talking to Jesus. Jesus meets this man. He's blind. The Bible says he's been blind from his birth. Now, these other people, we talked about removing the blindfold, so that's what we want to say as we move into this verse now. Now the guy can see. So last week we talked about removing the blindfold, and we said when we remove our blindfold, we now understand our real target. Our real target is to please God. So I said that, you know, even in interactions with my wife, even if I don't desire to interact at the very moment about a particular thing, a particular way, if my desire always in every situation at all times is to please God, then I'm going to shift to say, God, what would you want me to do? He's going to direct me, and then I'll do it, and I'll get the results God wants. Okay? So if God says, don't be bitter with your wife, then that means anytime I'm bitter, God ain't pleased. So if God says, love your wife like Christ loved the church, and I'm not exhibiting that, then God's not pleased. If God says, love your neighbor as yourself, and I'm not, God's not pleased. So I'm interested in doing what? Pleasing God, because we said on Bible study on Wednesday that the Bible tells us that we know when we pray, God hears our prayers. Why? Because we always do what pleases him. And once we do what pleases him, we know he hears our prayers. No question about it. So I'm assuming everybody, that's where we are. Everybody wants to make sure that what? God hears your prayer, right? Yeah, absolutely. At least I hope so. You know, we want to make sure that God hears our prayer and that what? He then responds to our life. Okay? Now, everybody has different ideas or thoughts about their life and how they ought to live it and what ought to be going on. But we're more concerned about pleasing God in every situation now, right? The Bible talks about us loving one another and all of that. The Bible talks about how what God sees as pleasing to himself, right? And so then this is what becomes important. If I make this my target, I begin to see something. Now, Jesus says this in John 9 to this guy. This is what's interesting. Jesus tells us that nobody sinned in this situation. Now, remember the guy that was by the pool, we didn't say that he necessarily committed a sin, but we do know this, that Jesus, after he healed him, found him in the temple doing something he ain't had no business. And Jesus said, now, you better stop that, lest a worse thing come on you. And we've said what people have done is taken this scripture to say, well, bad stuff happens to people and it's not because they sinned. Well, although that may be true, we also recognize the Bible says that our failure or our doing things can bring trouble on us. All right, so we want to be careful not to use this to suggest that that's the case. But Jesus said this particular man, he didn't do anything. But this, he was born blind so that what? God's glory could show forth in his life. Now, what's interesting about it, Jesus says this in verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, my thesis for today, this is what it is. Once we remove the blindfold, we have to walk in the light of Christ. Now, folks, I know what I'm saying sometimes sounds somewhat, I think, simple and elementary to people, but I really do believe that this is the main troubling link that is occurring sometimes. You know, if you look with any of these computers, if you can hit a link and it goes to page 404 and it says that page don't work, I really believe this link, although it's a simple link, many times it's just not functioning properly. All right, so people will say they see. They say they see. People say this all the time. They believe they see. But if you ask them how much time they spend in prayer daily, it would be amazing how little time people spend in prayer on a daily basis. Seriously. I mean, when I get up in the morning, sometimes, I mean, you know, I get up and I run and I get on my treadmill and I walk for hours because, you know, bodily exercise profits some, right? But the Bible says godliness is profitable to all things. Okay, so this life and the life to come. So if I can spend that kind of time, I say to myself, this is me talking to me, not y'all. I'm not telling y'all what to do. You know, that if I can spend that kind of time in exercise, then God, I need to spend time in what you say is important to you, which is prayer. I say I see. No way you can see, son, if you don't understand how important it is to pray and talk to God. God is not just up there letting, you know, you thinking this happening. This is what people thinking happening. God's up there, and because they're Christians, it's all good, I guess. And God's just like, and many people are like working in their own strength to do things. And that's why they're getting wore out a lot of times, right? And burn out and things and hitting roadblocks and other stuff. Because God it's like the way the Spirit of God works is he comes, he indwells us, and then he empowers us in such a way to get things done that normally we couldn't even get done. And God then short circuits things that normally we might end up having to do, but now we don't have to go down that road because what? God is already taking care of it for us. The Holy Spirit will move in different directions and move upon the hearts of people for different things because that's how he functions. And then what happens is we don't have to do the work. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. All right? So the reason we can reach out to these folks in Pakistan and reach out to these folks in Haiti and try to help feed the children that they have and all is because God has blessed us such that we can then do what? Bless them. How do they find us? You tell me. Okay? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, I get a call from somebody, you know, saw you here or saw you on the website or somebody sent me this or somebody sent a message, you know, can we talk? Sure, we'll talk. And then you do all the verifications, which we do to make sure this is not some scam. And we go through all the different things and we talk to all the different ministries in the country to make sure these people are legit. And when they turn out they are, then we can deal with that and deal with them. But how does this all happen? Well, God is the one kind of doing what he's doing. And the question is, in your life, see, you got to look at your life and ask yourself the question, beyond your life, what is God doing? Seriously, beyond your life, you know, the life you're living for you, what is God doing? You know, what is really happening in your life beyond you? And when you think about it like that and realize what, like what Sister April was saying this morning about the people out of the country who are starving and trying to live for God, so to speak, while they're being attacked and being persecuted and being jumped. This is why when you go over there and you talk to somebody who's Muslim and has had all kind of trouble and all kind of things because of that, and then they come here and somebody's saying, well, you know, progressive, we're progressive Christians, so we believe that your God, Allah and the Christian God are the same God. And then people go shaking their head going, what? These people are over here trying to kill us, and some of us have been killed because we telling them that Allah ain't God, and now y'all talking about what? Well, just because we're saying that doesn't make it so. You keep telling them, look, you just keep living, keep believing. Jesus said he is who he is, and you just keep believing the word of God. The word of God is what drives us, not what we're saying. So when I look at my life, I try to look at it and say, beyond, okay, God, beyond coming to church. This is something I chose to do as a pastor. I pastor. So beyond pastoring and doing them, what else is my life doing other than going home and taking care of my life? What else do I extend myself such that what? When Jesus, I stand before him on that day, Jesus said, there are going to be certain people, he's going to say, well done. And he ain't talking about hamburgers. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come in now. Not because what? You were a Christian. And then he's going to say, you did the will of my Father. Therefore, you were pleasing to me. He's going to say what? I was in the hospital and you visited me. I was sick and you were concerned about me. I was in prison and you visited me. You know, I was hungry and you fed me. I didn't have any clothes and you gave me clothes. This is the will of God in terms of pleasing. God deals with us and then what allows us to be able to take the light of Christ into the world. And this is when we finally can remove the blindfold and to see what's really going on, that although happiness is a great thing, God didn't say blessed are the happy. All right, I mean, you know, happiness is good, but let me tell you something about life. Life got a lot of stuff to make you sad. Like I said, people die, people get sick, all kind of stuff happens. But if your highest purpose in life can be something that goes beyond yourself and something beyond what the people in the world can make up, beyond some social justice movement, beyond some other thing. If whatever your highest purpose in life can be, if that is something that can sustain you, anything can come your way and you can praise God. This is why Paul and Silas could be in jail, and the Bible says they had gotten beaten, and at midnight, they sang praises. So the people then that got kidnapped in Haiti, what I would like to think, you know, to myself, if I go down there and somebody kidnaps me, what I'd like to think is, you know, I'll try to witness to the guys or something. And even if they threaten to kill me, I'll say something like, well, man, you can only kill my body, but, you know, you can't kill my spirit. I mean, you know, I'm here because God asked me to come. And, you know, now the bottom line is, if this is where I got to die, well, I guess I'm going to die here. But guess what? I would have done what pleases the Father. Why? Because I'm there because I went to please the Father. I didn't go because I wanted to have one more photo op for JCILM. I didn't go so I could have one more thing to tell people I did as a preacher. I didn't go for that reason. I went because the Father instructed me to go, and now I'm here to please the Father. So whatever is happening, I'm not concerned. So nobody sit around crying, if Pastor ain't had to go, whatever. Point is that I believe that that's what God would have called me to do, fine. But if not, I'm not going. I'm going to send you some a Western Union check, and I'm not going down there. You can go on the state website for the U.S., forgot what they call it, the State Department. And they got a big old red thing, do not travel. All right, so whatever these people decided to travel there, hopefully they heard from God. If they did, then no problem. Whatever happens, you're pleasing the Father. He's going to take care of the situation, no matter what it looks like when it's over. Because what? The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. See, folks, in America, this is kind of what I think about, especially today as we look. What I love about what's happening, and also I think it's kind of crazy, is that the whole thing is kind of almost like unraveling in front of us while we're standing here, and Christians are going to have to really make some decisions about what they believe, don't believe, et cetera, as they keep pulling that little ravel out. You know, this morning, you know, Marvel Comics, DC, whatever they call them, came out and said they're no longer going to say Superman, truth, justice, and the American way. It's truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. So for whatever their reasons, they've decided to put away the American way and say a better tomorrow. So anyway, a better tomorrow, I don't know what it looks like, but all I can say is people need to realize things are changing. So we can't keep coming to church and just hoping that we can hear about having a great life and all this other stuff, and that's all we care about. What's happening is the world is getting smaller, tighter, and tighter, and people are reaching a place where they're being told what they can't say. There's a pastor in Canada who basically was told after they got through arresting him that, you know, part of his probation was that whenever he exercises his free speech talking about things that have to do with the pandemic and all that other stuff, no matter what he believes, he's now got to say that the government believes X, Y, Z, 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 and although this is what he believes, the government and most experts say this. Well, of course, he's still in jail because he's saying, now, come on, now, that's compelled speech, which it really is. I mean, basically what you're doing is saying what? Well, you know, you've got to say what you're going to say, but also you've got to say this. Folks, as time keeps going and as things keep kind of crushing down upon us, we have to ask ourselves, do we see? Well, now that I see, the Bible is so clear that once we take the blindfold off, we've got to walk in the light of Christ. We now know the truth. The Bible, Jesus said, if you'll stay in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. All right, so in other words, I expect God, in one place, Jesus said this, don't worry about tomorrow, because the evil of tomorrow will take care of itself. Worry about today. Now, what's he saying? Don't concern yourself at all about the future. No. But what he was trying to do was to make a point to us. And that was this. Look, God is in heaven and knows everything that's going to happen as it's unraveling. God knows your life. God knows the decisions you're going to make. God, all this stuff, God already knows all that. If you would set your focus and your aim on pleasing the Father, and that becomes your thing today, then think about it. Every situation you find yourself in, if your determination is to please the Father, you go to Scripture to say, what would please God in this moment? Therefore, then, I don't worry about the future. That's going to take care of itself. I'll deal with the evil tomorrow, okay? But let me deal with today. the moment I'm in? What would please God in the moment that I'm in right now? And when that happens, then the power of God can rest on our situations so that we can receive the things that we're trying to receive from God. There comes a point, I think, of understanding. Look, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 through 24, I want to go over there. I want to read something to you. And although these things, like I said, at times will seem so simple to people, but the simplicity is not being implemented. And this is what creates the issue for us as believers. In 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 24, I want to read this to you. Look at what it says. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, how are a preacher going to say that? Christ didn't send him to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, folks, I want you to really think about this now, what Sister April was saying this morning when she was talking about a devotional. Think about this. If I could give you a magic wand and you could wave it and everything you wanted, whenever you wanted, how you wanted it, the wand worked. People would take the wand. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that if you found a pearl of great price and you lost it in your house, you'd be up all night sweeping, 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 looking for that pearl. If you had the lottery check, ticket that this person who I forgot where they were won, like $600 something million, and you knew you had that ticket and couldn't find it, you stay up all night. Well, y'all don't look like people like that. No. Pastor would stay up all night and for weeks looking for that ticket. He gonna go through the garbage can. If he thought it went to the dump, he going to the dump. Pastor going everywhere looking for that ticket. 600 something million, I know it was my ticket. Matter of fact, they called me and said, you got the winning ticket. We need the ticket. I'm gonna find that ticket. Okay? I'm looking. I'm gonna do everything I can, all right? Unlike, say, for instance, yesterday there was a credit card I was looking for. Couldn't find it, right? I went online, made sure no charges. I saw the last time I used it, looked in all my pants, pockets, did everything I could, couldn't find it. Well, I just do what? Cancel it. Just cancel the card, and if you got it, use it for something, go ahead and put another card on it and order another card. Can't order another lottery ticket. Oh, no, we're going to look all night long for that. Oh, we're going to go all up on the roof. We're going everywhere. Where you been last? You're going to tear the seats out the car. You finna do everything to find that $600 million ticket. And Jesus says, people don't see. I am the ticket. Jesus said, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way into heaven to start. That's heaven. But the life here, if you really want to live and see the dynamics of life happen here, you got to get this thing, the blindfold off your eyes and see. Because once you see, then you'll realize. See, part of what's going to happen in America, I'm telling you now, as this thing keep kind of rolling down on us like it's coming downhill, you know, everybody keep, like last year, the big Christian, or this year, the big Christian motto was 2021. And the one they was putting W-O-N. Let me make y'all understand. Even the philosophers who argue about nothing is real, you know, and all these crazy people who say, well, you know, what's real? Or people talking about my truth and your truth. Let me tell you what really truthful. Pain. Oh, yeah. Pain. 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 Yeah, once you start getting that pain, you can sit there all day long and say, it don't hurt. Oh, yeah. That pain. Pain will do it to you. See, people can say whatever they want right now, but you know what? You still might not have no Christmas because all the toys is out there on the boat somewhere trying to get to the thing. You can't buy a car right now because all the chips still over there in China, if they can get them over here, or they out there on the water board. You can't buy bacon that was 20% more now than it was last year, and the gas is probably about $4 a gallon more. I told Sister Lori, joking around with her, we're going to stand that pain with that Escalade real soon. You go from $40 a tank to about $100 a tank, and then trying to figure out what's going on. It ain't over. It ain't over, sister. It ain't over. Pain. See, people understand that pain. You can talk all you want about what your truth is and what you believe, but God understands something about people. Pain. Oh, they get pain. Set somebody on fire and see what their truth is. I'm talking about real fire. Now, I ain't talking about that play. I'm talking about real fire. Put, light them up and see if they stand there talking about that don't hurt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pain. Pain. See, pain is reality, and God knows that too. So the reality is the Bible says Jesus came and took pain. He took it upon himself so that there's certain things we would not have to experience, but even when we did, we would know that what? By his stripes, we were healed. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation in the world, 2021. How about 2020 lost? You 21 ain't no better than 20 was. Matter of fact, it's a little worse. And so the reality is, what that got to do with God? See, it has nothing to do with God. The reality is that we have to have a spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, if he dwells in us, that not only can he bring peace in situations that there should be no peace, but that he can also give us joy in situations where you would not expect it, so that we can walk in spite of whatever it is we may or may not have or possess. See, Jesus said, your life does not consist of the abundance of things you possess. It's one thing to say that until you ain't got nothing. Then all of a sudden, when you don't have anything, people begin then to kind of change their perspective on some stuff a little bit. Maybe God ain't blessing me. Why would I think that? Why would I think just because there's trouble around me and things going on that somehow God got a problem with what's going on? No, Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus said in one place, the time comes when no man can work. You got to work and get forward and put forward while you have time, because if you don't, Jesus said the time comes when no one can work. What pleases God, the Bible says this plainly. I want you to think about this. This is why God ain't interested in, he don't care whether Fox saying it, CNN, CBC, or nobody else. It don't matter what nobody's saying, whether it's on YouTube, BoobTube, AnyTube, it don't matter. The bottom line is it does not matter, because the only thing that pleases God is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. People need to understand, if there was any other way to end the madness on this planet, Jesus would not have had to die. If people don't ever get this and get their eyes truly open to this, pain is the only thing can come. That's the only thing people understand. Pain, 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 pain. That's the only way to get it. You know, why is it necessary, we say? Why do children have to get it? Pop, pop, pop. Because they don't understand. You tell them, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. No power. Oh, they understand pain. And God's like, look, I ain't trying to have to deal with all this. I don't know how many people for so long, even though now some of the preachers are finally coming on board with what I said a long time ago. God controls everything. And the devil can't put nothing on the planet that God don't know about. So whatever's here, God allows it to be here no matter how it happens. The devil don't control nothing. See, that's what you got to understand. He doesn't control anything. The Bible is plain. When time for Job to get it, he had to go before God and ask him. God asked him, have you considered Job? And the devil was the one who said, well, the only reason Job worshiped you is because you won't let me get to him. So that proves to us that God makes it clear, and James reiterates that in the New Testament. Look at Job, he says. If you got trouble in your life, look at Job. Now, what that means is I should try to ask myself, okay, God, what exactly do I need to be doing to get this trouble to go into the direction that it ultimately needs to go as my eyes are open? What's interesting, this is what the man says to the Jews. See, his parents were so scared. Now, y'all think about this. Think about the time we're living in right now. And you think about this. This man was born blind. Born blind. His mama and daddy knew he was born blind. All right? They knew it. Girl, that it's a child. Let me get over here so y'all don't think I made this up in the Bible. The Jews have threatened these people to say, if you confess that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus walking around healing people, Jesus walking around raising people from the dead. People been dead 4 days and stuff like this. And Jesus raised them from the dead. And these people are still threatening people, saying, if you confess he's the Messiah, we're going to put you out of the synagogue and cut off your life. Basically, cancel you. That's what's going to happen. You're done. You're toast. And look what happens. Now, in verse 19, here's what the Bible says. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now see, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age as him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess he's Christ, he's going to get put out the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he's of age as him. Oh, if your mom and daddy did you like that, how would you feel? That's pretty bad. You know, they know you was born blind. They know it's you. And they so scared of the people that they like, hey, yeah, we know. We know him kind of, but ask him. Running for the hills. Scared. Because they're going to get canceled out when it's over. Go ahead. Take a position. I know it's your son. Wow, that's your son. And you're going to throw him under the bus? Yes, they threw him under the bus. Now, parents, take heed. Don't do this to your children. But the man got strengthened in his spine. So then the Bible in verse 24, it says this. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. So they saying Jesus is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, well, I was blind, now I see. So in other words, he's saying, look, you can say anything you want about the dude. I don't know nothing about him except one thing. I was born blind, couldn't see nothing, and now I can see. Now that much I know. What you gonna do with that? I'm telling y'all, some people, it don't matter how much truth in their face, that's not the issue. You got to understand. See, once you understand, that's not the issue. See, the devil don't care about truth. He a liar. He always been a liar. So it don't matter if you convince him of the truth. He don't want to know the truth. He already knows that's the truth. He don't want to know the truth. He wants you to believe a lie. And that, you will have everybody running away as you're trying to tell the truth about Christ. See, when it's all over, this is what people don't understand about the world. When it's all over, this boils down to one thing. The Bible says, you know, that when it's all over, there will be one who will arise. That's why he's called the Antichrist. He will be the one who is the total opposite of Jesus the Christ. And the whole world, the Bible says, will go after him. And those who don't, off with your heads, right? Now, the question of whether or not people are willing to believe God in different situations, I'm trying to get people to understand. God, if you please God, the Bible says even when you please God, he'll even make your enemies to be at peace with you. Now, he didn't say he'll make your enemies like you, but he said, but they're sure going to be at peace with you. All right? And until time that they're not supposed to be, you don't have to worry about your enemies doing nothing because they don't have no power. They don't have no authority. They have nothing to win. They can cut your life off. They don't. But if you are afraid, then God allows the enemy to be able to move in on our lives. The Bible says that the thing that Job feared the most came upon him. See, he was very fearful of a lot of things. The Bible says every day Job would sacrifice because he didn't want anything to happen because he didn't know what his children might have done wrong. And then all of a sudden, the thing that Job feared most came upon him. And the Bible, all that happened was that God allowed it But at the same time, what began to come out of Job's mouth was all kind of things that weren't true. Job started saying, curse the day I was born. See, every human being, the pain can always get bad enough that we'll eventually begin to question God, because there are things we do not control. You know, when my wife leaves every day, I pray, God, watch over her. Okay, so that she don't end up one of these fatalities with these people on the road that are not paying attention. God, I pray for you all every day. God, you think about it. We haven't had no real tragedies in the church like that. We've had none of these things like that are really occurring. And many times in churches, it's happening so often all the time. Things are happening to the young people. Things are happening to people in the church. It's just all the time. But we don't even experience the most things at that level. Think about it. Look around and think about what goes on here and think about what you're hearing. But see, as we continue to try to pursue God and to pray and to make it clear to God that we recognize we don't control these things, Father. You are the one who's ultimately in control of all that goes on around. And we don't want to be in a situation where we need pain and then we find ourselves saying things like, curse the day we were born. See, because if I live a certain way, pain brings to me this point where if I'm self-sufficient, you realize eventually your sufficiency is not enough. Yeah, I mean, you know, Job lost his kids. He lost his property. He lost everything, like, in a couple days. And then his wife comes up to him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? That's when she's supposed to come and try to pump you up. Come on, let's keep going with God. Instead, she says, what? You should just curse God and die, because obviously he done forsaken you. You see, you got to realize that ultimately God's intention is that we all see something. I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to go over there right quick. 2 Peter chapter 1, and you see something that Peter says. Peter tries to explain to folks as he's writing in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to look at verse 16 through 21. This is what it says. Peter says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. All right? So in other words, Peter is saying, look, y'all, we didn't make this stuff up. All right? We literally were in the mountain. We saw Jesus standing there, and we saw him transfigured in our sight. He calls him his majesty. We saw his majesty. Now, you could think of his majesty in the sense of his majesty. No, his majesty. He is the king. We beheld his majesty. We saw God in the flesh, the Son of God. His majesty. We saw him. We ain't making this up. This is why we can say to somebody who's under threat of death, don't give in. Don't give up. The devil is trying to get you to change your mind, because he knows that if he can get you to change your mind, you won't please the Father. And if you don't please the Father, Jesus told us what it's going to be like. Jesus said it's going to be a horrible day at that throne where all of a sudden the angels are going to gather up folk and cast them into a lake of fire. This is not a joke. This is serious business. This is serious about taking the blindfold off and realizing that, guess what? I need to spend some time. No wonder I got pain in my marriage. No wonder I got pain in my life. No wonder I got pain in all these other areas, because pain is the only thing that draws us back to God half the time, that we understand we need Jesus. Now, it's one thing to say, oh, I got Jesus. I mean, people say this all the time. But the reality is the Bible tries to get us to understand. I said this last week. I said, when I met my wife, okay, and I told you all about how the chemical in men's brains, which if women understood it, it'll help them a little bit. As long as the men understand it, it's okay. Women understand it, it helps them a little better. But that is that this chemical in your brain, it's the same thing for any motivation. Anything that causes you to try to be successful. So when you meet a woman who pings your interest and you're interested in her, it's almost like you just put on blinders. Now you jumping over walls and tearing down things and doing stuff you know, brother, you would never be doing. You know you don't live like, you know you don't do that. You on the phone all night long. You in places you ain't never gone. You at the shopping center. He at the shopping center now. Shopping. Why? Because he wants to impress that woman. He's going to get that woman no matter what. Now, if she got enough sense, then she will know, okay, you know, you're going to climb Mount Everest, brother, before this is over with, because I understand what's going on with you. So I'm going to have to see just how you willing to climb then. Because I'm not settling for no low stuff then. I'm not going to let you do me that way. Okay? I'm just saying. I'm just got to get you to understand it, right? Well, think about it. The Bible talks about Christ. It calls us the bride of Christ now, right? Now, Jesus done died for his bride. And the question is, what is the bride willing to do for this man who done laid down his life? Now, you watch women in the natural. Now, there's men that done, you know, done a few things. They get married, and that man can do all kind of crazy things, and they'll sit there and tell you, but Pastor, you just don't understand. You don't know his heart, and you don't, they're going to defend that man, and I don't know if they're defending their own craziness. You know, because the rest of us going, hey, that's crazy. And it's like, no, it's not. You just don't understand. You ain't with him all the time. Thank goodness. But they will do all kind of things, tolerate all kind of things. And then when it's over, may or may not get to where they're trying to go. But here we got Jesus now. A man who literally died so that he could what? Bring us to himself. And he can't even find us to pray. He's like, oh, is somebody down there? You know, just can you come to me every now and then and just talk to me? You know what I'm saying? Can you come to me? But when we have some pain now, that's many times when people find Jesus. You know, and they're going through something. Something's happening that's traumatic in their life. Something happened that's causing trouble in their life. And the reality is then they're looking for God. And God, he responds. And then things ease up, and we go back to living life. Folks, I'm trying to get you to understand. The same thing that women want and desire once they have a man, a husband, or whatever the case might be in that sense, of this constant attention, and I don't mean constant like it's a negative. I don't mean that. But I mean attention to what matters to them, to make sure that what? You are something that they're concerned about. That when they make decisions, you on their mind. And that there's nobody else that they would put in front of you, irrespective of who that might be in any situation that makes sense. I'm going to put it that way. Okay? Well, now that I see, why would God not be the same way? You know, why would God not be there, and he constantly compares himself to a husband, and God is constantly comparing himself, saying, look, I did this, I did that, I did the other. Now what I need you to do is to come unto me. See, Peter said, look, we beheld his majesty. We saw him. He's the Son of God. Now y'all listen to me. If the Bible says that the reason God responds to me is because everything I do pleases him. The Bible says that Jesus was God's only begotten son. This is the truth of the gospel, that he's his only son. We are all going to be adopted by God. The adoption ain't took place yet. The adoption, the Bible says, to wit is the redemption of our bodies. We have been like God. Now we are in the like Jesus. We are made like him. He is the first begotten in the flesh, first begotten from the dead, and the only one that's been begotten from the dead and who has been transfigured, if you will. So we will be adopted to be like him when what? We are raised from the dead where we have pleased God. All right? So now we are waiting in line for the adoption, right? And the thing is, don't you want to be pleasing? And what he says is, look, I need y'all to understand something. There's no way to please God outside the gospel. In other words, this is why we're so adamant. See, a lot of people think we're this way because we're dogmatic. They say Christians are dogmatic. That's what's wrong with y'all. That's why the world can't get along, because y'all don't want to let nobody else's religion in. Don't you understand? This ain't about religion. This is kind of like somebody telling me about my wife, or trying to tell my wife. See, the reason you can't get along with your husband is because you won't let him have no more women. Yeah, I mean, if you just let him have some more women and the women that he want, he'd be happy and y'all would have a great life. He don't mind buying what you want. He don't mind giving you anything. You got a nice house and car. What else you want? And see how y'all shaking y'all head because y'all know that's crazy. But then there are people in the world who God is like, wait, stop. Let me make y'all understand. I ain't got but one son. And mankind needed a sacrifice, and I gave up the one son I have for y'all. But y'all telling me y'all would be all right and could get along pretty good if I just let y'all have whatever y'all want. But that ain't how that's going down. No. I make the rules because I'm God, and this is how they go. My son or nothing. It's not about religion. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I just know God hasn't given me a choice. And then people will say, well, how do you know that's true? Well, just think about it. I'm serious now. Just think about this. Think about it, y'all. Y'all smart. Y'all all look like smart people. Just think for a minute. Think for a minute. Just think. 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 If God is real, if there really is a real God, and Jesus is his son, why would God allow evil men to beat, crucify, and kill his son so you can have another extra way to get to heaven? Yeah, just why not? Let's give him one more way. Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup away. Right then he should have said, oh, Lord, Jesus, there's plenty of ways. Come on back up here. There's plenty of ways. That's not what he did. Uh-uh. He didn't say that. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he ended up having to die. Not only did he died with sinners on each side, died stripped of his clothes, died a grievous death, painful death, so that God could give you just another way. So we had that great wedding and all that stuff. And I was trying to make sure my wife was happy enough so that I could have a few more ways. I was just trying to make sure she was really excited. That's why we did the wedding that way with all her friends and all that. And I promised her, you know, all that stuff I promised her. But all that was so that, well, I could have a few more ways. That she'd be so pleased with me and all that I did. That guess what? Oh, yeah, I can do some other things. I don't think so. And it makes no sense for Jesus to say, he said, look, when you lift me up and once I'm dead, you will know I am he. He who? The one the Bible talked about. I am he. I'm the one, the prophet that Moses said, when I come, if you don't listen to me, you shall be destroyed. I am the one. How else can he declare? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. How can he declare? Just listen to the things Jesus said. He's crazy. I mean, you should just throw him out. He's crazy. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Whoa. I'm from above. You from beneath. I've seen the Father. You haven't. What? That's why they kept saying, he's crazy. Jesus said, if a man come to me, he shall never die. You're crazy. What are you saying? You're declaring that if somebody comes to you, they will never die. You're declaring that as the Son of God, you've been to heaven where none of us have ever been. And now you're dead. But the scriptures declare plainly, Peter says, we ain't making this up, y'all. We saw him. And we saw him transfigured. And now we understand that what? God is going to use his son to bring all this stuff to an end. In Colossians chapter 2, we've read these verses before. I'm going to read through them right quick, and I'm going to close with this. I want you to think about something. In Colossians 2, 6 through 9, the next time you hear people talking and telling you things and saying all this stuff, just look at them. And I'm telling you, go pull all the scriptures that Jesus said things about himself, and you're going to find yourself saying, okay, you know what? I just need to either accept this or let it go. But I promise you, if you accept it, you'll understand that this is what pleases God. Why does it please the Father? Because his only son who died, you believe. This is what you preach. This is what you live. This is how you get your life. This is your lifeblood. Before you make a decision, you come to Christ. After you make a decision, you come to Christ. Once you live, you come to Christ. Everything is in Christ. All the decisions I make, I bring to Christ. I don't go to CNN, Fox, anybody else. I don't need therapists to tell me the answer. I need to hear what God has to say, his spirit living on the inside of me. Look at what he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. Look at what it says. As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. Like Jesus told a man, rise, take up your bed and walk. Get your eyes on the blindfold off and walk. Rooted and built up in him, y'all, and established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you with philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the men and after the traditions of the world and not after Christ, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, in Jesus, we're being taught that everything about God is in him. This is why I say to people when they say, well, how do you know God wants to heal you? You tell me one time when Jesus met somebody sick and left them there. You tell me one time when Jesus walked up to somebody and said, it's God's will for you to die and go to hell. That's not what happened. You tell me one time Jesus walked up on somebody who was caught in sin, knew they were a sinner, and he said, that's good, and you're going to bust hell wide open for it. Instead, they catch the woman in adultery in the very act, drag her to Jesus. We caught her. We busted her. And Jesus is like, that's really nice. But what about you? Him without sin, you first cast the stone. And the Bible says everybody left. That's God. That ain't Jesus and then God. That's God. The bottom line is, you sick, God will heal you. You ain't sin, God will forgive you. But the reality is, Jesus is it. Why do people find that so hard? You know, we say it, but then we do everything that in a way, not y'all, I don't know what y'all doing, but we're doing everything that doesn't get us there. In other words, you got to get in the Bible and allow, the Bible says that wisdom in the heart of a man is like a deep well. And a person of wisdom draws it out. So when there are things that Jesus said that you could read them, and you can't just understand that reading that first time. Well, what? He said something, and you think, you say, wait a minute, hold up, what? This is why they kept missing Jesus. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Think about this. Jesus said, if a man's hand offend him, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. So let's say a man come to me and say, Pastor, I can't help it. Every woman I see, I'm lusting. I look at her. I say, well, Jesus said right here, if your eyes offend you, pluck them out. There will be a bunch of blind men running right here. But the thing is, think about this, though. He plucks them out, and now he's still hot. Because Jesus said, it ain't about what's out here, it's what's coming out of here. So the bottom line is, if he got a problem with lust, it ain't going to matter. He pluck his eyes out. Jesus wasn't trying to say, go pluck your eyes out. He wasn't saying, cut your hands off. He's trying to get you to understand something. It's that bad, though. He's trying to get you to understand. If you like this, you a man can't stop. He said, you would be better to have jerk them eyes out your head. He said, it'd be better for you to get cast into hell. Not get cast into hell. You better have to go blind to heaven. He trying to make it how serious this is. You know how many men, Pope Christians, they going to bust hell and don't realize it, or going to catch hell in their life because God's like, I'm not pleased with that. I'm not pleased. Well, I ain't touching. I ain't doing nothing. Don't matter. Stop that. There's something in your heart that needs to be dealt with. And you need to realize how terrible this is. Jesus said it's so terrible, you should jerk your eyes out of your head. But it was spirit. These words are spirit. but they are life. But you got to spend some time in there with Jesus so that you understand that what? Why can't you escape? Why then all of a sudden am I? You know, you could be having totally other problems in your life and not realize they're totally tied to something else that you're doing that God tells you not to do. And if you don't spend time searching it out, you'll never know. It's like diagnosing a car. They take the car in, they put it in. You think it's this. Brother Chapman, I did that one time. I thought it was a starter. Changed the starter. That wasn't it. It was something else. Sometimes there are things going on in our lives that is really something going on, but we got to take time with God to let him diagnose. But that only happens when we spend time with God. But you know, it's amazing how people just don't get what it means when you say Christ and him alone. God don't want you adding on top of Christ, Oprah. God don't need you adding on top of Christ, Chappelle. Not that you would use him. God don't need you adding nothing on top of Christ. If you go look, it's in there. It's there. And God is so jealous about Jesus. And I understand it, y'all. I'm just telling you. I couldn't have a son that I gave for people. And him and I just had to vacate the planet. I'm just sorry. It just ain't in me. There are too many crazy people down here and too much stuff. And some people ain't crazy. They know what they're doing. And Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They got to know. Look, they nailing you to the cross. How can they not know? Thank God that now we can see. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you today again for the opportunity.